Are you in search of a podcast that pokes you lightly with the truth about everything relating to your health, your well-being, and general lifestyle habits? I am happy to tell you that you just found the right one. This is Health and Jara, a weekly podcast that deals with topics ranging from health and wellness to everyday lifestyle issues. New episodes drop on Sundays. We are back. Hello, and welcome. This is Health and Jara, and as usual, I am your host, Oluwaseun Olusegun. It's always a delight to have you here. Every time you click on the link to come listen, it makes me happy. So thank you for making me happy. But do not forget that the aim of everything that I share on this podcast and the people that I bring to join me, the aim of everything is such that you take the information and just put it to good use. Whatever it is that we're telling you about, maybe the health aspect or maybe the lifestyle aspect, the tips and all the general information, please put them to use. Like I always say, it's not just because I like to talk. You know, I am sharing this because I need you to take the tips. Now, that said, we're going to be having a very, very interesting conversation on this episode. I do have a very special guest, one that I like to disturb a lot. But no, I am not going to be disturbing him today. And we're going to be talking about dealing with information overload, especially in this crisis, you know, the current state of the world and how news are flying from one left to the other, from one side to the other. And it's like you almost cannot avoid them. So we are going to be having that conversation for the next 30 minutes thereabouts. So you should grab your chair. You should just get comfortable, get a bowl of popcorn or snacks and a cup of whatever it is that you drink. It's going to be a good one. My guest, ladies and gentlemen, his name is Ikemisete Effiong, and he's a legal practitioner. He's also a research consultant. He's a communications professional, which actually makes this interesting because somebody who deals with communications is going to tell you how to navigate communications and social media and all of that. And besides that, he's also a political blogger. Currently, he's actually the head of research at SBM Intelligence. And SBM Intelligence is an African-focused risk consultancy. And also, it is Nigeria's foremost geopolitical intelligence firm that is based in Lagos. Ooh, lot of accolades. All right, so he has written for a number of Nigeria's top online mediums. And that also includes Daily Post, Opinion NG, and many more. And of course, Why Niger. Is a guest commentator on political and social issues on radio and television. That includes appearances on Al Jazeera, on Arise News, on BBC World Service, Channels TV. A lot of them, and not to forget, of course, Smooth FM. He is a regular current affairs commentator on Smooth FM breakfast show. That's Freshly Pressed. I can actually go on and on about the profile of my guest because it is really, really beefed up. But yes, so let me bring up my guest. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women, boys and girls, please make welcome Ikemisete Effiong. Hello.
Hi, Oluwaseun. Good morning. How are you?
I am very well. Thank you. I think you should pay me for hyping you this morning. Like, at least.
I actually should because, you know, Lagos has no idea how torturous our relationship is. So to hear you say all of that is actually the height of it. Yeah.
Oh wow. I am not as bad as you have just painted me, but no, we'll keep that story for another day. But thank you so much for joining me this day. It's a pleasure. So
an absolute pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. All right. So I did say that it's very interesting to have you, a communications a professional, a political blogger, a social commentator wanting to talk about this topic of, you know, dealing with information overload, considering the fact that this is your job all day. In fact, you're the head of the research arm of SBM Intelligence. So it means that you're constantly on the internet, you are on social media, you are like one way or the other in people's businesses, either they like it or not, because that's your job. So I'm very curious, how do you navigate this interesting job of yours while balancing it with your sanity?
It is a challenge, right? And it's a constant one, right? Yeah. So you're absolutely right. We troll the media always. Troll as in T-R-A-W-L. We are always speaking to people. Myself and my team were always traveling around the country and increasingly around West Africa, talking to people, making sense of, you know, all of the relevant and important issues of the day. And, you know, we're always on TV, we're always on social media, we're always on radio, as you know. And it is a challenge because, and I suppose if you're plotting a graph, right, of news consumers, so sort of like the profile of the average news consumer, someone like me would be at the very, very far end. Like, so it's like most people, if it's a bell curve, most people will be concentrated in the middle, right? Where, you know, you can tune out every now and then, you can more tightly regulate your news consumption, and then there'll be people at the far edges. So to the far left will be people who don't care, right? You know,
yeah.
And then to sort of like the far right would be those who super care because, you know, it's their job or they are newsmakers or, you know, they have some vested interest in being, you know, consistently and constantly inundated with news and information. So, it is a challenge. We've sort of evolved some mechanisms to cope with it at SBM. So, you know, we take regular time off. Time off is an actual time off. So you're absolutely encouraged to, you know, not look at your email, not respond on sort of like, you know, the company WhatsApp groups. Yeah, and all of that. But also what we sort of do on an ongoing basis, because there are only so many breaks you can take, right? Is to actually modulate where we get our information from. So we sort of like we have a list. We've got a large pool of news and media sources that, you know, we're constantly looking at. But we sort of, you know, filter the edges. So platforms that are known for extremism, and, you know, extremism in bias, extremism in sort of like the content of their communication and all of that are things that we generally do not check on a regular basis. We only look at those platforms if they are newsmakers in and of themselves, right? Yes. Yeah, so we like to stick very tightly to the middle, to, you know, to look at platforms that, you know, at least pay some kind of fidelity to, you know, objectivity, to accuracy, and to nuance, because, you know, that we're very big on that. We obviously spread out the responsibilities, you know, quite widely. So, you know, I have people on my team that only look at the economy, for example, and they're encouraged to specialize in that. Yeah, know a bit of everything, but, you know, really, really just dig deep in your speciality. We've got people that look at the economy, we've got people that look at health and all of that, which is good and fine for them. But for me, who manages them, I've got to know a bit of everything and some. So, yeah. So you know, so it is a constant challenge, right? One thing that does help you though is it's one thing to, you know, regularly and habitually dip your feet in the waters. In a manner of speaking. So, you know, I check social media every now and then, maybe 2-3 times a day. I'm very, very brutal, you know, with myself about how long I stay on social media. So I try not to exceed an hour and a half a day, right? Because I find that, you know, after that, in the initial stages, yes, I used to use an actual timer, but now it's become, you know, sort of more habitual. So, you know, my internal clock just sort of checks, because I found out after an hour, 30 minutes at least, for me, you know, I'm entering rabbit holes. The benefits of remaining on social media after an hour, 30 minutes do not justify the costs for me. Yeah. You know, I'm tired. I'm oftentimes inundated. I've consumed way too much, and I need to get out. So for me, another 30 minutes, I keep it to that. I consume a lot more long form journalism, and I find out that really helps me. So, you know, I'm not keen on following breaking news as much, even though, you know, I mean, not all breaking news stories are created equal. There are some that are just, you know, absolutely important. You got to keep an eye on, but not everything. And this is something that the media has consciously done over the past 10 years, right? Which isn't helping news consumers, which is to style every small thing as breaking news. And so as to encourage clicks and to encourage, you know, users to get on your website or sort of pay attention to your content, which is really damaging and doesn't actually aid people to actually be properly informed, right? And so oftentimes, you know, I filter, right? If I see a headline, it doesn't register a lot for me. And, you know, again, it takes practice, it takes experience, it takes having like a bedrock understanding of the issues at play. So if consulting my experience, consulting my knowledge, consulting all I know, a headline doesn't do it for me, I tune out. I don't open the link. I don't check out the video. I don't look at the post beyond that. So those are some of the kind of things that work for me. And I think the really big one, because I mean, you know, when in a hyper-connected, interconnected world, you there are lots of things you cannot completely unplug yourself off of. And I mean, I would make the argument that there are lots of things you shouldn't, right, you know, disconnect yourself from. But it's really about filtering out what's important, you know, for you. What are your values, for example? Not everyone is head of research at SBM, so you don't need to consume news to the same extent, at the same rate, you know, that I do. Right. So, you know, what are your values? What are the things that are most important for you? Watch those closely. Figure out the right platforms. Obviously, factoring for nuance and factoring for context, right? That sort of educates you, right, on the issues, right, at play, and consistently mind those, and, you know, be clear to you. Figure out what your cutoff point is for, you know, information consumption. Don't indulge your mind's propensity to get into rabbit holes and just keep doing news blindly. Be very intentional about it. And I think lots of news consumers aren't very intentional about how they go about finding their information. And that really is at the heart of, you know, that we are now seeing, right, with information overload, not just in Nigeria, but everywhere, really.
Yeah, that's really packed already. I mean, even if we don't see anything after what you have just said, I think that the aim of this has been achieved, because you have mentioned a lot of really good points in there. One of it is that the person, whoever is listening now, that is thinking of filtering, you should identify first the news channel or the platform you go to. You have to be careful, else there are some people that will just drag you down. And it's you were saying something about how breaking news have been wrongly labeled, you know, almost everything is breaking news these days just for the clicks. And you were saying something about caring also. But the truth is, you know, those sites, those people who wrongly label the breaking news, it's like they don't really care much for your mental health or your spiritual health or whatever, your emotional health. They just want you to click. And so it is now left for you to be able to censor or filter. And I think another salient point that you mentioned that really resonates also is identify your values. What are you looking for? Does it tally with what you would want to consume and a host of others? I think another one is that you should regulate your time online. That's a very, very interesting one. For me, I cannot even spend 1 hour, 30 minutes at a stretch. I cannot. In fact, on Instagram, the entire time I spend in a day, like for the whole day, is sometimes less than 1 hour. And it's part of my job to consume all this, you know, to be able to just keep tabs, you know, on the happenings. But I unplug sometimes. I set the timer on my Instagram. So when it reaches that time, it tells me you're done. So except it is really important that I stay on Instagram, or maybe I'm just there for the feels, I will not go past 1 hour, 30 minutes in a day. But there are days that it's way less than that. I go back to my activity and it shows me what I have spent in a week. So it's just good, really. So that point also is very important, that you just set your inner clock to, you know, to know when to unplug. And like you said, it's a rabbit hole. Before you know it, from one click to the other, I think YouTube is what does that to you. You set out to watch one video, and before you know it, another one comes and another one comes, except if it is educative and all that. If not, you really have to be careful. So let's talk about this one, still talking about information overload, especially when it concerns news and all that is happening. I find out that a lot of people these days really are the ones that go in search for this news, especially when it confirms something that they already know. there's this confirmation bias.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like YouTube and other social media sites are not even helping matters. They'll keep giving you that suggestion based on your search history or your click history or whatever it is.
You're absolutely right, right? And you know, this is something that I've thought about a lot because actually for me, my most used social media platform is YouTube. YouTube has replaced television for me, really. So it's like most of the news channels have YouTube live feeds, so I watch all of them on YouTube. Right now, as you know, as we're talking, right, my TV is on mute, my smart TV is on mute. It's on Audra's YouTube channel. So it's like there is no day, I think, in my life, maybe over the last 4 or 5 years, I haven't used YouTube in some form. And I think, you know, first up to everyone out there, I think everyone should watch. So go get it if you haven't seen it. The documentary drama, The Social Network. It's just a beautiful and also a disturbing explainer about how technology and especially social media is consuming us, really. So
I mean, we're
social media consumers. Yeah, exactly. It's on Netflix.
Oh yeah, The Social Dilemma. Yes, I have watched it.
The Social Dilemma, absolutely. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's got the names there. So it's a brilliant synopsis of
super,
the problem. So
super good.
So basically, to simplify things, every social media platform, right, works on the basis of, you know, of things that are called algorithms. So algorithms are basically, you know, constantly rolling mathematical calculations that try to figure out what type of content a social media user would like to see based off of, you know, the past social media, past consumption, right, you know, of that social media user. So, you know, take someone like me, for example. I love documentaries, and, you know, I particularly love, you know, documentaries about war, documentaries about, you know, intrigue, power play. I love history documentaries, not so much nature documentaries because I see scary on a regular. But I love those kind of things. And because I've watched a lot of those on YouTube, anytime I get on my YouTube, I'm being introduced to yet another history documentary. So, you know, I like the documentary on the First World War. I'll most likely watch a documentary on the Second World War. And YouTube puts that, you know, in front of my face. Or I also love basketball a lot. And I watch a lot of basketball highlights and basketball analysis. So oftentimes during the NBA season, right, when matches have taken place overnight in the US, when I wake up in Nigeria in the morning and I'm getting on YouTube, there's a basketball highlight from the previous night waiting for me. You know, that kind of stuff. So and this is not unique to YouTube. Facebook does this, Twitter does this, you know, every social media platform does this, because what has happened is, you know, prior to technology, human beings had to, you know, manually curate content, right? What the social media companies have done is, you know, they've used sophisticated technology, they've used machine learning to feed and continue to improve these algorithms to the point where we are heading towards a particular zone where, you know, the social media companies do not just now confirm our bias, they form them.
Exactly.
They actively shape them, right? And so it's super important for everyone out there who is listening to really understand how social media works. You know, everyone, and, you know, certainly, you know, for me, and, you know, most likely for you, I've had this experience where you're talking to a friend about getting a particular thing, and then you go on your, you know, you go on your favorite social media platform, and there's an ad of that thing waiting for you to view.
That happened yesterday. Let me interrupt you. So that happened yesterday. Now, that's no longer news to me, but yesterday was another level. So I was back at the office, and I was having a talk with Olakunle and Yubi. Those are the hosts of the Total Football Show, you know, co-host and all that. So we were talking about something, and I think Yubi was talking to Olakunle about gold, and before you know it, he got a DM from somebody who sells gold chains and necklaces and stuff, and the guy was blown, was like, no, we only just mentioned it now. I know that there's probability of ads popping up on my feed, but what are the odds that a person selling gold would just send me a DM, a random DM, just minutes after we talk about gold? It's insane.
It is really insane. And that's what I'm talking about. It's like these algorithms are just getting better and better and better, right, at what they do. So like you said, it's old news that you get an ad, you know, not long after you've thought or you've talked, right, about a particular thing. The thing is, these algorithms are built based on, you know, machine learning tools and predictive learning tools, which are becoming increasingly more sophisticated. I mean, think about it, right? The amount of content that's posted on YouTube in a day, right, amounts to almost 100 million hours of content a day, right? And people are constantly watching those things and liking them and sharing them and recommending them and commenting on them. And we're doing that on Facebook, we're doing that on Instagram, we're doing that on Twitter, we're increasingly doing that on TikTok. We are basically aiding these tools know us better, understand us better, to the point where, you know, an algorithm might go, if, you know, Oluwaseun likes shoes, if she likes celebrities, if she likes, you know, A, B, C, D, E, she will most likely like D, E, F, G, and push that your way, or prime, you know, or prime companies and prime marketers to push things your way. And that's really what happened to, you know, Olakunle yesterday. And, you know, it's only going to get more intense. By the time we get to, by the time we enter into the era of, you know, screenless technology and user interfaces that are more natural, you know those things you see in the sci-fi movies when people are just, you know, waving their hand at, you know, non-screens, right? And you are seeing interfaces that they can interact with. It's going to be more intense, because if you have that kind of technology in your bedroom, for example, right, the algorithm could really listen in on your conversation with your partner, with your spouse, or with, you know, a relative or a loved one, right, and instantly just toss out things your way. You might get a prompt while you're having a conversation about, I mean, what random topic can we, you know, pick? About dogs, for example, right? Yeah. And I get a prompt that goes, okay, do you know that there are X number of dog vendors within your neighborhood? Which one would you like to check out? I mean, we are getting to that point. And to the earlier points that I made, if consumers are one, not educated about how these things work, and if they're not intentional about curating their lives, because it's inevitable, the interaction between humans and technology will only become deeper, we will become more intimate. You know, technology will become more indispensable in our lives. I mean, think about it, right? You know, you and I, I'm making an assumption, yes, correct me if I'm wrong. You know, so I grew up in Lagos, right, largely. And you probably, you know, grew up in Lagos. And, you know, in the 90s, the early 2000s, you could get around, right, without the use of technology. Heck, nobody had mobile phones, or very few people had mobile phones. And now, even if you know where you're going to, you're checking Google Maps to understand traffic time, to know the best route. Oftentimes, even after you've checked that information and you know it, you still leave the, you know, you still leave the, you know, the map directions on, right? Yeah. You know, just until you get to where you're going to. And so, you know, we're increasingly training ourselves to be comfortable with technology. That will only deepen and increase. And it makes sense now, before, I would argue we haven't necessarily fallen off the precipice yet, but it will make sense now, you know, for us to be very intentional about how we're doing it and, you know, what kinds of things we are letting into, you know, our space.
Wow, it's really, I don't know, just mind-blowing. You know, while you were talking about that, especially linking it back to the social dilemma, you know, you mentioned just now that we are getting comfortable with technology, like too comfortable. In fact, going by some of the things that I harvested from that documentary, I'd say we are very dependent on technology these days. And it's one of the reasons that we are called users, you know, social media users. And, you know, like it was pointed out in that documentary, that only two fields actually refer to their consumers as users: when it concerns drugs and when it concerns technology. And when you actually look at it, you see that we have the same effect, especially the dopamine that our brain secretes whenever we pick up our tabs and our phones and all of that. That same effect drug users get whenever they are snorting on their drug is what we are getting from the use of technology. So we are heavily dependent on it. And just like you said, I can infer that we are not powerless. When you were talking about curating our lives, we are not powerless. We have to make that choice. And it's one of the reasons we're talking about this. So just in case you have been on that slippery slope, and it's like you're on autopilot of information consumption and all of that, I think now is a good time for you to take a step back and evaluate what you have been consuming and feeding on, because one way or the other, it forms your thought, it forms your opinions, it taints your worldview. And if you're a spiritual person, wow, I don't know what it's going to do to you. In fact, it can erode your faith, because going by a lot of things that are happening. And speaking of which, so you're a Christian in Kemeset and you are a believer. So how do you actually deal with all the news of all the crisis going on? You know, different things. It's like when you go through the news, there's almost no positive news every day. So how do you interpret it?
So for me, really, it's about understanding that, you know, first and foremost, this is a time where, you know, for Christians out there, the Bible said these times will be like this. So first, a lot of it is not a surprise, even though it feels as though we're unlocking sort of like new levels of, you know, of chaos and conflict and, you know, and suffering. So that's the first bit. And, you know, I constantly remind myself about that. Secondly, for me, is that, you know, I mean, I obviously take comfort in prayer, you know, take comfort in continuing to study God's word. But for me, one thing that really helps is, you know, I volunteer. And I volunteer not just sort of like within the four walls of the church, but I volunteer out there, you know, out in the world, you know, and because for me, that sort of gives me, you know, a sense that, you know, I may not control sort of like the big macro issues, right? You know, what can I, one person, do about terrorism or the insurgency or climate change, right? You know, or political instability. There's very little I can do about it. But, you know, but there are things that I can sort of control or help to function better at sort of a local level, right? And so, you know, I volunteer a lot. And it's like, it's from things, you know, as little as, you know, offering a word of advice or counsel to, you know, a younger person or someone who reaches out and asks for help, to, you know, doing, you know, programs, shows, explainers, you know, and, you know, and things like, you know, we're doing right now, we're having conversations that, you know, we're sharing and we're empowering ourselves with, you know, we sort of like the tools to help to navigate what is an increasingly complex world, to volunteering, to mentor, you know, people out there, to participating in the local politics and the local issues of the area that I live in. So it's like, there are levels. So I think for every believer, really, I think the first thing to know is, first, we are called to be active, to be participants. We're not called to be spectators, right? And so it's easy for people to say, oh, well, I'll just pray about it. And, you know, they'll keep moving, they'll keep, you know, living their lives. But the thing is, increasingly, these big issues are sort of affecting us. We're having a global conversation about climate change, for example, and, you know, many Western and advanced countries are setting these ambitious green energy targets for themselves. The US wants to stop the sale of all petrol-based cars by 2040. I believe the EU wants to do that by 2030, which, come to think about it, is what, you know, 19 to 29 years away. So it's not a long time. This will happen within our lives, right? And 2030 is 9 years, right? Yeah. And, you know, 2040 is 19 years. So it's like, these things will certainly happen within our lifetime. What does it mean for us as an oil-producing country? What does it mean for those of us who have cars right now that run on petrol, right? Because one way or another, these changes will affect our lives. You know, MTN just last week was celebrating 20 years of being in Nigeria. Almost everyone who's listening to the radio right now was born in the pre-mobile phone era, right? So how did we get from 2001 to now? That should give you a sense about how radical, right, you know, and how quickly, you know, these changes will begin to have an effect on our lives. So what are you going to do about it? How would you position yourself to ensure that you're an active participant in shaping how that conversation, right, happens? Those are some of the kinds of things, you know, when I look at the life of people like Abraham, people like David, you know, people like the Apostle Paul, and certainly Jesus, right, during his time on earth, they were clearly very involved in what was going on around them. They had things to say, and more importantly, you know, they backed up, you know, those sayings and those words with actions about, you know, the ever-changing reality of life. As Christians out there, that's our model, really. You know, we've got to, you know, we've got to participate more. Having said that, you know, that there's a comfort that, you know, a consistent study of the word and prayer and just worship, right, does in terms of, you know, boosting and, you know, supporting our mental and our spiritual and our emotional health. And I know that for me, when I'm really, really stressed or I'm really, really burned out, or it just seems as though all that's happening in Nigeria and all that's happening, you know, around the world is getting to me, you know, God is that strong tower that I run into, and I feel just so much better, and I'm more empowered to do more work, really.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, for me, definitely. In fact, if we go into that conversation, we'll probably not end this thing today.
I know, right?
But yeah, like you rightly said, I don't think a Christian should be surprised at the things that are happening right now. It's like we already got the heads up from the Bible, and a lot of things are happening. Truth is, things are going to get worse. Things will get worse. The world will not be a better place, in quotes. So I am sorry to dash your hopes if you're thinking, you know, it's going to, but the world will turn back to Garden of Eden. No, it will not. It will not. So I think it's just best to prepare yourself more for the impending crisis. Just today, I was going through the news and I saw another report of Marburg virus in, I think it was, I don't know if it was, is that?
Guinea.
Yeah, Guinea. And just in case you're not aware of what the Marburg virus is, it's similar to the Ebola virus. So it's scary, you know, ordinarily it's scary. Lots of things are happening. For instance, it was a couple of days back when I was just checking out the whole wildfire really running mad in Greece and other US. Different things are happening. Things will get worse. And let's not even get into the whole climate change, the plastic pollution. Crazy, right? So just insulate yourself. Now, not necessarily mean that you're detached from everything happening. It just means that you protect your core and you stay within the confines of your faith. You act within the confines of your faith. If you don't believe it, don't say it, don't consume it. Like rightly said earlier, when we're talking about dealing with the information overload, make sure that, you know, all that you're consuming aligns with your values, so you know what you're looking for. And, you know, I got one really, I don't know if I should call it a punchline, but it was something really deep that one of my elders mentioned. He was saying that to a Christian, everything happening, everything we call news right now is not news, because if you read the Bible, you know that it is not new. And I'm like, wow. And that's the truth. So, like I said, we can go on and on about this, but then I hope you've been able to extract some really salient points that, from what we've talked about. Lots, in fact, more things will happen. And I think we need to briefly mention the part where people need to be careful of how much terrible information they share. It's like this WhatsApp string. You know, when people get information, they quickly want to forward, all in the name of caring about the others. And before you know it, everything that happens to them, they are projecting their own emotions, their fears, their insecurity, their anxiety, they are projecting it to you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, right? So, you know, I'm currently, myself and my colleagues were part of, we're anchoring the Nigerian leg of a global project that's looking about, and that's looking into how misinformation on WhatsApp, you know, sort of like aided, you know, the coronavirus pandemic. This is happening in five countries, I think, four or five countries simultaneously. And it's just really profound, really, how people oftentimes without really reading without really reading what they share, just go on and just pass it on. And it's mind-blowing, really. And I think, you know, as responsible citizens out there, as parents, as brothers, as sisters, you know, as bosses, as colleagues, you know, and certainly, right, as spiritual people, you know, for the spiritual people out there, I think we should be more responsible with how we share stuff. So first, read it, think about it, think about this, if this is worth sharing, and it helps to form, you know, an opinion or a perspective about things, so that if you share and people are asking you questions, you're able to intelligently talk about the issues and not just reply with a, oh, I just saw it on Instagram and I just thought to share, I just saw it on Twitter and I thought to share, or, oh, you know, it was forwarded to me by so-and-so person and I just thought, oh, it makes sense for you. People have to be more intentional about stuff. We are intentional about how we share food, for example, who we invite into our homes, you know, who we go out to hang out with or see. Why do we treat information differently? It's that dissonance that sometimes is very fascinating to understand, because there are many other things that are of a similar nature in our lives that we don't treat the way we treat news and information. And I think it will make sense for people to become as intentional about what they consume and how they share it, that as they are intentional about what they put on in the morning before they leave their homes.
Yeah, that's very important. Just be careful. And that you believe it does not necessarily mean I'll believe it. So please stop projecting whatever it is that you believe on me. That's also another thing. For instance, I'm in a couple of WhatsApp groups and let's not even get started. They keep posting and posting and posting and posting. I am sorry, I don't want it. And well, I think that's the part where we need to set our own filters to just, you know, learn how to shut down. Of course, I do not necessarily speak up, because I now know how to look away without those things affecting me. But if you are at the early stage of just learning how to navigate that, I think learn how to, you already know those people. I think, yeah, you know how to identify those people that are constantly sharing and posting. It's like it gives them joy to just share breaking news, bad news.
Yes, I know them. It's exhausting. We had to kick an old mate. This is on my secondary school WhatsApp group. We had to kick him out for a while just to get a breather, right? Because he was constantly. When he got back, he resumed his old ways. We're like, dude, you need to start a blog or something. Like, turn this inclination of yours into something more productive, or I don't know. It's just really crazy.
Yeah, I know that. All right, thank you so much. It's been a wonderful chat. We should, in fact, if we go beyond this, I don't know, we'll have a part to meet one of these days.
You know where to find me. This was
all right.
Fun.
I do. For having me. Thank you. All right, so that brings us to the end of the chat this wonderful day. I hope you have enjoyed it and also extracted some nutrients from it, because again, that is very important. Oh, by the way, come and say it. If they want to follow you on social media, how can they do that?
Okay, so on Twitter, I am at George Ike, George as in court, a court judge, and then Ike with a Y, and an E. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. On Instagram, I am also at GeorgeIke01. So just an 01. Just add the 01 for Instagram. Although I rarely post on Instagram. Anyways, but please.
Actually, yes, I can attest.
Please, maybe you would be the follower who would get me super connected on Instagram.
Yeah. All right, Ben. Thank you again. So that's it. And for us, you can follow us across all social media platforms at Health and Jaira. And for me, it is oluwaseunr.olusegun. Connect with me. And maybe you have a suggestion of a topic you think I should talk about, or something you feel would be beneficial to others. I am totally open to that. So send a message. It could be on Instagram at oluwaseunr.olusegun or Health and Jaira. And I will gladly take that. Next week is another time. Come back to the same station. Yes, Health and Jaira is the station. All right. Do have a very, very good week. And please, coronavirus is still ravaging out there. So please protect yourself. do all that you need to do, sanitize, hygienic practices and all of that. I care about you because I do care about you, and also because I want you to come back to listen. So please stay safe and be in one piece. See you next week. Bye.